Hello and welcome to Keanu Club, like a cool breeze over the mountains. This is episode either 79 or 80, and I will explain why in a second. Between Two Ferns, the movie from 2019. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And the reason it's 79 or 80 is just because last week, just last week, Mike, you and I recorded with Mike Flynn, the John Wick expert himself.
That's right.
We recorded our Parabellum episode of this very fine podcast. This, I think, is going to, this is going to be like a 15 or 20 minute episode, I'm sure.
It's come out first.
And I'm going to edit this tonight when I go home. I'm just going to put it out. And it's basically, hey, Keanu Reeves is in between the Two Ferns of the movie, and the movie's great, and he's great.
Yeah, I mean, this would have probably ended up somewhere on, like, a clip show episode or something, where we would have done, like, a compilation of a bunch of his little cameos and stuff. But, like, yeah, this kind of caught us off guard. I had no idea. I didn't know any of the celebrities that are in this movie when I started watching it, except that Keanu was going to be in it, and I found out, like, the day or two before the movie
dropped. Happened was that I listen to Comedy Bang Bang every week, and this was co-written and directed by Scott Aukerman, who's the host of Comedy Bang Bang, and so this past week, on both Comedy Bang Bang and Threedom, because Lauren Lapkus is the co-star of this movie along with Zach Galifianakis,
yes,
and she's on Threedom, and so they've been talking for a while. They announced her a while, like, she's in the movie, and then they were sort of joking, like, can we basically announce that Paul is in the movie, because Paul F. Tompkins plays just, like, the very overt, like, message in a TV, like, hey, never give up on your dreams, which is just great. But then slowly over time, they would announce star here, star there, or whatever. And so they had last week, the Comedy Bang Bang episode was with Zach and Lauren. It's basically the four main actors. It's Zach and Lauren and Ryan Gall, and I don't remember the woman's name who plays the sound boom person. Yeah. They were talking about different things, and at the end, you know, they mentioned Keanu Reeves, and I texted you, I was like, do you know? Because I didn't know.
I had no idea.
Like, what? Something I was already going to watch very clearly weekend of. I was like, oh, I really need to watch it now because this is podcast material.
Yeah, and I woke up Friday morning and I put it on right away. And the first thing I'll say is I had to actually search for this in Netflix.
Like, oh, really? Because when I put it up, it was like the big banner.
Was it? Okay. I had to actually search between two, and then it popped up. So get on that, Netflix. Yeah, I put it on right away, and the first thing I noticed is he comes really early in the movie.
It's McConaughey, and then it's him.
Yeah, his second celebrity right out of the gate there. Very brief appearance. I think one of the shortest ones, but very strong to have him, like, right at the top like that.
The story of this movie. So if you don't know Between Two Ferns, it's a Funny or Die series, and now it's also on YouTube, that is created by Scott Aukerman, I think, and probably with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
And Zach offers really awkward, terrible interviews of celebrities. Yeah. And he sits between two ferns, and it's just like this awkward thing. And they had Obama on. Like, it got really big.
It got huge.
Like, it's Charlize a very popular thing. I think there were probably about 21, I think, in total. Okay. And so they just, you know, I guess to commemorate the movie or whatever, they did a full interview, which I've not seen yet, with Paul Rudd, and they put that on YouTube.
Oh, I think what they did is everyone on the movie got a full interview show.
Which I would love
to see. And
they're
going to release one-on-one.
I would love that. So what the movie is Zach wants to be taken seriously. He wants his own actual late-night talk show on the Lifetime Network because he's a straight white man and he deserves it.
I thought first he was like, I want a Lifetime. I want it.
For the rest of my lifetime.
Yeah, for the rest of my life. But he actually Lifetime Network.
Will Ferrell says, okay, if you give me 10 interviews, because their studio gets trashed, give me 10 shows in the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Let's make it interesting. By next Monday, I'll give you a TV show. And so they go across country. It's the four of them, and they're just going from celebrity to celebrity and interviewing these. And it's a road trip movie interspersed with the different interviews. But before the studio gets trashed, Keanu is like, I'm Keanu Reeves. I'm here for Between Two Ferns interview.
He shows up at their studios, their little, like, just...
Oh, it's like public access in North Carolina,
Yeah, it's like UHF. It's great.
And I don't want to... I intentionally don't want to spoil the jokes, but I do really want to sort of congratulate Keanu again for sort of the second movie in a row that we've watched, right, because we saw John Wick earlier, but, like, this and Always Be My Maybe.
Yeah.
He's embracing the fact that people make fun of him.
Yeah, he's in on it. These are good cameos, too. Unlike, you know, those cameos he came in and, like, only cowgirls get the blues. And, you know, and sorry to remind
you. Two big thumbs down. Contractually obligated to say that joke.
It's a bad action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bad movie.
Just a bad movie.
But I agree. Like, I love how he is, like, leading into his persona. Because, like, even Cage talks about it now, too. Is, like, you know, the internet takes everything
yes.
in a different direction to another level. And so it's, like, you know, you could either fight it embrace it or ignore it, right? And like, if you ignore it or you fight it, like, there, you can't revel in it, and there's no fun. And it, and you know, he is, it really seems like it's kind of, because I always see Keanu, some guy, he's like kind of in a shell a little bit, mm-hmm. and like, he's coming out of that shell,
yeah,
like he's really kind of, you're right, poking fun at himself and all that kind of stuff.
And so, I think what's actually really cool, and I sort of want to divert from Between Two Ferns for a second and sort of echo a really good conversation that Jordan and Kara had on a recent Wistful Thinking. Okay. So they talked about Biodome for 20 minutes, and I was like, how is there still 35 minutes of this episode left? But then they talked about like streaming media and just all about that kind of stuff. They were talking about the evolution of movies and things like that, and Jordan was like, are there still... Because she was talking about, you know, straight to VHS movies, and she's like, do those still exist? Kara's like, oh, of course they do. They're just, you know, they're just straight to VOD. And I messaged them. I'm just like... Mike and I have watched like 25 Cage movies that you have never heard of mm-hmm. in the last 3 years that are all straight to VOD.
Yeah, most people haven't heard of them.
And so what I think is really interesting and cool and sort of empowering in a way is that as movies have gotten smaller, sort of, like as a democratization of being able to make a movie, like this is the brand new iPhone, like this right. is a better camera than like most, like I could mm-hmm. shoot like beautiful video. I'm not going to, but I could, you know what I mean? But like, aside from maybe like red cameras and maybe one tier below that, this is better than anything that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this is now for $60 a month, I can have this. Anybody can make a great movie. And I think that the ability for anybody to do that and just like make things cheaply and quickly and easily gives actors like Keanu Reeves and like Nicolas Cage and whoever the ability that if they find a role, they find a movie that they want to play a small part in or sort of make fun of themselves or whatever, they're able to do that. Because it's not like Keanu has to, every movie has to be a blockbuster anymore, right? Like it can just be sort of whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that giving him the ability to like be a little cameo and Always Be My Maybe while filming John Wick 3
mm-hmm.
or doing this for a day in LA somewhere. Like,
yes.
I like that because movies both are made and distributed in brand new ways, gives these actors the ability to be like, if I don't have to bear the burden of being a leading man, I can be a villain. I think that Keanu, especially as we followed
the
last 4 or 5 years, he's really leaned into like interesting roles.
Yeah, against his type.
Whereas Cage is just like, I need to be, I don't care how low budget this is, we love him, I need to be the leading man.
Yeah, exactly. Keanu's got more of sort of more freedom right now because he's in this huge franchise. John Wick has blown up and everything, and it's sort of that sort of saved him from his VOD hell, right?
Because
you look at how many people are there right now, like John Travolta and stuff like that, several movies deep now into VOD territory. But like Keanu had one or two, right? And then he kind of popped right out of that again, and he got really Siberia. Maybe that hit some theaters, I don't know, but like, he got really lucky. He could be wallowing there like Cage is, you know? And again, I love what the Cage VOD collection has become and what it is and stuff, but we're of a very minor perception, I think, of those movies.
For sure.
But yeah, and I think that's, you know, just where Cage is like, you know, without sort of that mainstream franchise appeal, it's not like people forgot who he was because his movies are classic now, but like people aren't watching his new stuff.
I think it's adapting to culture and internet and memes and just his career in a way that maybe isn't as, you know, I'm sure that he could make more money, obviously, if he does what Cage does, right? Like, if he goes to a movie where the budget's $5 million and he makes $4 million of that, right?
Yeah.
And just like, I'm on set for 6 weeks and this is the movie and it's a bad movie, but I'm in it, I'm the star of it, and 8 people are going to watch it and 2 people are going to love it, and they're you and me.
Right.
I think that his ability to be like, oh no, like he's wealthy enough that he gave all of his money from The Matrix like to charity. Like he's just set, right? And he just knows, like, let's just have a good time kind of, and you know, surround myself with like weird, fun, creative people and just do a thing that people can be like, oh, that was really cool.
Yeah, it's too bad Cage can't do that, because I think the last time he did something like that was like the Snowden movie, you know, where he had like 2 short scenes as Snowden's sort of kind of mentor guy, like the previous like version of what Snowden might have been and stuff. And so like, you know, he probably did that because it was an Oliver Stone film, and I'm sure he gets offered like small little roles and stuff like that from time to time where it's like, we just want you to come in for a scene, do your thing, take a bow and leave. And it's just like, I mean, ego, work ethic, whatever, maybe he's just like, I want the whole movie or something. And so, you know,
and I think that's something that we talk about a lot with a lot of the actors, and I don't want to be ageist, because anybody, there's movies that in theory could be made and should be made and starring all ages.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like at a certain point, Cage and Keanu and even Shia and everyone, you kind of, I want to see them lean into the weirdo kind of character roles, because mm-hmm. they all have been and still are leading actors, but I also think that there's more interesting stories to be told and like more interesting performances to see when you're only on screen for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Yeah, like I love Shia, and like he disappeared for so many years. I mean, he did play John McEnroe, which was a pretty good interpretation. I mean, but like he has to play his own dad in his next movie. You know what I'm saying?
But he's like, also in the Peanut Butter Falcon, which I don't think it wasn't a huge movie. It was a Hollywood movie, and it was really good. So I think he scared Hollywood away. I think that's what happened here. And Keanu, okay. I think, just sort of slowed down a little bit and just like, I'm going to be in, you know, Anna Lily Amirpour's movie. I'm going to be mm-hmm. in a Nicholas Winding Refn movie for a couple of days. I'm going to be in this weird Scott Aukerman Netflix movie. Like,
and do the Bad Batch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just glad that he's doing things like this. Like, I would love to do like 10, 15 minute, like, I don't want to be in 10 movies a year, but if he's in 10 movies a year, that's cool. But, like, I wouldn't mind doing 10, 15 minute episodes of Keanu Club a year just to be like, oh, he's great in this, go see this movie.
Well, what's nice is I think we might see a lot more of this. I think this is just the beginning, because there's kind of a Keanu-sans going on online. Like, we've been aware of it.
Well, this is also very clearly the year of Keanu.
Yeah, and next year, it doesn't seem like it's going to slow down, because Bill and Ted's coming out next summer.
Well, in this movie, he is either Bill or Ted, so.
And I feel like we're going to get a few things, a few surprises
sure.
between then and now, and then, you know, John Wick 4 on the horizon. So, like, yeah, he's got a full plate. I think this is a new phase, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're in a new phase of Keanu, and I'm loving it.
Plus, eventually, I mean, sooner probably rather than later, he's going to be in a Marvel movie, and he's also hopefully going to be in a Hobbs and Shaw movie.
Oh, right.
And so they're going to be very big movies and also very small movies and just sort of weirdo independent things and whatever that he's going to be in. So we're here for it.
Exactly, yeah.
In terms of Between Two Ferns, the movie, before we wrap up, is mm-hmm. there, what was your favorite part, your favorite interview, anything? What stands the test of time? If we're going to do a walk down memory chain, Too Fast, Too Forever question, if you think of this movie, what's the first thing you think of?
I'm not a practicing Jew. I've perfected it. That line is like incredible. Yeah, Aunt Man delivered that, and you could see they left it as long as they could, because he instantly was about to crack up. But that is my favorite line, and I love the Letterman stuff was just great. I thought the Letterman, and in the end credits as well, but all the Letterman stuff.
Yes. So my problem with the movie is that, and I was talking to Larson about this today, and I sort of had like an op, like we sort of agreed and also wildly disagreed. I think that the interviews were kind of the worst part of this, just because I was invested in the road story that they were telling.
Okay.
And then I felt like when they got to the interviews, they couldn't do like a full thing because it was only going to be an 80-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like Scott talked about how he had thought about, you know, Spinal Tap and Popstar, and was like, this movie needs to be 80 to 85 minutes, because like if it's longer than that, we're going to overstar a welcome.
Yeah.
And so he sort of had a self-imposed, this is what the movie is going to be lengthwise, right? Having to show 10 of those, and they're really funny, and I love the closing credits, I love the outtakes, I love the bloopers, because they all are just so giddy to be there, and just be saying the dumbest things, like Zach just asking the dumbest questions in the world, and like him cracking up at his own dumb questions is great too. But I feel like going from a pretty solid, you know, fun, entertaining road movie to just like 2 minutes of Tiffany Haddish, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like both of those in equal parts. I just sort of maybe wish that either, like, I wouldn't mind if the movie was longer. And I also think that the problem is, and Scott was talking about this on Comedy Bang Bang last week, because everybody laughs at almost every question, they have to really awkwardly edit it.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're able to have a 4 or 5 minute interview, instead of like a 90-second interview, you can let things live a little bit more. It feels less produced. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was sort of my drawback. But I mean, I love the ending. You know, I loved...
Ferns.
I liked Ferns, but I mean, I really liked the outro, the bloopers over the credits.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Like, I thought maybe if he had just needed to get, like, certain celebrities, right? Like, you need to get
these five celebrities,
and hunt them down, or maybe even some under, like, auspicious circumstances, like, you can't let them know, like, they're being filmed and stuff. Yeah, I hear you. It's funny how invested I ended up getting in, like, the actual, like, behind-the-scenes documentary, like, the mockumentary, I guess, like, style of the rest of the movie really engrossed me. And
like, so, I love Lauren Lapkus. I think she was great.
I didn't really know the other two people that
were. So Ryan Gaul is also on Comedy Bang Bang. He's maybe most known for being, I think he's on I think he's on an actually like a big T. I think he's on a network show now, but I know him from Bajillion Dollar Properties.
Who is
he's
he
one of the
on
stars in that.
Who is he on Bang Bang? Does he have? Do you
so,
know any of his
you
characters?
You know the Calvin's twins. The he plays horse, the triplet. Yeah, he's the third. He's the new one.
The Calvin. Mm-hmm. Hey,
you gotta laugh.
Well, it's a horse farm.
I loved Adam Scott when he shows up. He's just like, I'm from Parks and Recreation. Zach's like, finally, I'm just tired of interviewing all these actors. He's like, no, I'm from.
Like Jason Schwartzman shows up to say nothing. Like that's a great gag. And John Cho?
John Cho is in there, yep. Bit parts, like I love Paul F. Tompkins on screen for a second. I love Mary Holland on screen for a second. I love, you know, just like people that we know from the Bang Bang world, like that scene, just show up for a minute. I think that's great. You know, Brie Larson was really good. The Chrissy Teigen stuff was weird.
Oh,
I
but the John Legend stuff was good.
It was so awkward and weird. The John Hamm stuff, like all the celebrity interviews were great. John Hamm was great. Haley Steinfeld was great. Awkwafina.
So,
Tiffany
Haddish. I wanted to ask you something because I watched it twice, second time with Andrea, and we both picked up on like Zach's hair and stuff, like his continuity.
Oh yeah, no, his hair, like when he's
completely off,
like,
right?
Yes.
Okay, I was just making because they probably had to like film certain parts whenever they could and pick up
and
a lot of stuff here and
too,
there.
Yeah.
Okay, and okay, because I was like thought it was going a little nuts, and it wasn't. I figured that wasn't part of his character. That was just sort of.
No, if
like
you also watch Ryan
thing.
Gall, who's the cameraman, Cameron Campbell, aka Cam, the cameraman, he's always got a mustache, but his like beard is wildly either.
Yeah.
And like, they just had to just because like they were doing other things, they just had to film it.
Yeah.
Like they kept like part of it consistent, but like for the most part.
Yeah, it goes so fast too. Like, you know, you wouldn't tell unless you've watched it a couple times.
It's also not the movie that like it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like it's
right,
that's not
right,
yet.
Right.
And I know that you're not nitpicking it, but it just
it was just I you know, I wanted to know if you caught that.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. He would get in the car like it's a nice tight cropped haircut and then outside just like basically like wearing a wig. Like I don't and maybe it was on purpose, I don't know, but yeah, for sure.
And he's got a great wardrobe in this too, Zach Galifianakis, all the child t-shirts that he wears. Like, or not t-shirts, but like the collared shirts with like the stripes and stuff.
But this movie is on Netflix. I don't know if we've said that yet or not, but it's on Netflix, so go check it out on Netflix. Free if you have that or if you have someone's login. It's going to be there, I guess, forever. I'm just very excited for the addendums on YouTube, the full interviews.
Yeah,
like we said, there's one out already, the Paul Rudd, the Ant Man one, and there's going to be more, I would imagine. But yeah, if there's a full Keanu one, maybe we'll do a whole other episode.
Come back
I don't
for
know.
That. Put a tag on this.
Yeah, exactly. Any other thoughts about Between Two Ferns, the movie?
No, definitely go check it out.
So for all things Keanu Club, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. Check out, in just a couple of days, dropping is a John Wick 3 episode. I feel like there's going to be, do we have another one on the horizon? Toy Story 4 we got to do this year.
Oh
my
gosh,
that's great. We haven't talked
about
that yet. Yeah, we got a cool guest for that one lined up. Duke Kaboom. So go check that out. So we got, you know, Always Be My Maybe from earlier this year. We've got this one. We've got John Wick.
Dude,
we're
I totally
Toy Story.
Forgot he was in Toy Story, and I saw it twice, and I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what
Duke
we're talking
Kaboom.
About with like the mini roles.
Yeah.
That's great.
So go do all those things and check out our other 25 shows on the network, especially Tom Club. Every Friday, Mike and I talk about Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks movies alternating. We're in the midst of some really great Tom Cruise ones, and we're on the verge of some really great Tom Hanks ones, so go check those out. And we'll see you next time for John Wick 3 in just a couple of days, right here on Keanu Club.